B-Pod Studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our good friend Pat Egan standing by
with all the takes.
What's up?
Hey, Patrick.
Oh, hi, Pat.
The Giants fell to the Steelers last night, 26-16. And then the nightcap, it was the Steven Goskowski show. Just take a listen.
Titans kicking game was a mess a season ago. Here's Goskowski on the way from 47 and no good.
Wow.
No good. That was blocked. Somebody got a piece of that. Second time tonight, 42-yard attempt. He's missed one, had one block, and no good from 25. On the way, and splits the uprights like he's been doing it all night.
Love to see it, though.
That last one was a game winner as the Titans beat the Broncos in a thrilling 16-14 game. So, as we all expected, the Washington football team is at the top of the division.
Go figure. By the way, Monday Night Football crew?
I just wrote that down.
Make Kirk Herbstreit full-time at that.
Herbie's great. I like him a lot.
He's better than anything they've trotted out on Monday Night Football the last 4 years. Long time. Okay. Yeah, a long time.
It's been a long, long time. I agree. I thought that was great. But,
yeah.
But that's not the crew.
No, that was the B crew.
Yeah. The crew is Levy, Greasy, and
Lewis Riddick.
Lewis Riddick, yeah. I didn't mind him last night.
No.
I caught the first half. Obviously, it was like a 10-20 kickoff, I think, last night.
Yeah, I caught more of the early game, and I thought they were phenomenal. I love Lewis Riddick, though.
I thought all three of them in the booth, I mean, it's the first time working together, so just like if any players, they got to work out some kinks. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun broadcast.
Yeah, Levy even had, like, excitement to him all night that you don't... I love Steve Levy. I think he's great. Mm-hmm. And last night, it was like Steve Levy a little bit on steroids or something. It was like, whoa, he's pumped.
He was giddy.
He was. Yeah. He had, like, an excitement to his voice all throughout the telecast. I thought both were great last night.
He's got Monday Night Football, man. He's in the
driver's
chair of Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best broadcast they've had in quite some time on Monday Night Football.
You know who else is giddy?
Who's that?
Mark Farzetta.
Why am I giddy?
Because Billy Donovan and Mike D'Antoni will be in Camden this week, reportedly, to interview for the vacant head coaching job.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I'm over Tyronn Lue, I like both of them. I like Billy Donovan a lot more than Tyronn Lue. And, like, if Tyronn Lue is at a 10 for no, Mike D'Antoni is at a 9.9 for no. Like, I'm not saying I need Mike D'Antoni as head coach. I still would like him more than Tyronn Lue, but it's the closest anyone's ever been to wanting over Tyronn Lue.
Why is that?
Because I think even without shooters, he would have a better offensive sense than anybody that's walked through that door on that Sixers team.
Right, but I thought he's close to Tyronn Lue in your eyes, and you don't want him.
Correct.
And all right, why don't you?
Because
is what I'm asking.
The personnel on this team fits nothing that he has done.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Anything he's done in the NBA, it's not been with this type of team.
He was here for a little bit of a stint as an assistant coach, and the players and everyone around absolutely loved him.
I heard
great guy.
I heard he was really self-deprecating.
Really?
Yeah, I heard he came in, and that was one of the things that kind of put people at ease was the fact that he would joke around and his personality.
Big-time golfer, too.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Will he be golfing with us on Monday?
But we're still trying to find someone for you. We'll let you know. But
that's one of the prizes in the Fanatic Prize Bowl.
I can't see Mike D'Antoni being a fit. He's 69 years old. He runs an offense that doesn't fit this personnel.
Nice.
We know Joel Embiid would love him right out of the gate.
Yeah, I just don't see that being a fit here.
I don't think it is either, but I think he's a great offensive coach. And this team, I think, can play defense in their sleep. When it comes to Mike D'Antoni, offensively, I think you could find a way to make these pieces fit. Ultimately, I still want Billy Donovan over him. I still want Tim Duncan over pretty much anybody.
But yeah, and Marcus Hayes had a column today saying Juwan Howard's the perfect fit.
I don't mind Juwan Howard. At least he's been a coach.
He's been in the NBA an awful long time as an assistant before he went to Michigan.
Yeah, why not?
That's just an interesting name is all. MLB is banning alcohol from locker room celebrations this year, so players will instead spray Fresca because it kind of looks like champagne and it's delicious.
Now, in the seltzer water boom, I'm shocked that they wouldn't go with anything else. I'm shocked they wouldn't even go with, like, White Claw or anything like that. They went, like, no alcohol whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's
nothing.
It's probably
COVID related.
I mean, I would assume, but they're still spraying liquid all over the place.
No, I was joking about the Fresca thing. I was just
And this is all the tanks.
It should have cut from no more alcohol in the locker room. But he
yeah,
took
I was
it a
convinced
step further.
They were going with Fresca.
I tried to pick a drink.
Bob, help him out.
I tried to pick a drink that was so obscure that it would be obvious that it was fake. Like, no,
then you say Tab.
But out of all of the sodas,
Sunny D,
RC Cola,
Fresca, you guys really bought. Now this isn't
Fresca's
on me.
Making a comeback.
This isn't
Purple
on
drink.
Me. This is on you three.
Whoa! I was. I knew you were kidding.
Okay, this is on you too.
No, honest to God, I knew he was kidding. I thought he should have stopped after no more alcohol in the locker room.
Well, then this is on Mark and Jamie.
And then he went to the Fresca.
Is it like, Glenn Dawson that had the smoking a cigarette and had a Fresca at his feet?
I think so.
At halftime, like Super Bowl II or whatever it was.
Super Bowl III.
Three.
I believe it was three. It was Indy versus KC.
I think
right?
It was Super Bowl I.
No, three was Baltimore Jets.
You sure about that?
We'll move on.
I don't think you're sure about that. I think you're wrong.
You're right, I am wrong. A move that many have expected, Steve Cohen reaches an agreement to buy the Mets. Not great news for the Phillies because the Wilpons were just
they were great.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I hope you did out of respect. I hope you guys called Josh Harris and be like, "Sorry, bro. Can't win them all."
Hello?
No? You guys didn't do that?
I just want to be out of this building.
you didn't just comfort the man? No, that didn't happen?
I obviously don't want Steve Cohen to be the owner of the Mets because he seems like he's kind of competent.
He's the richest owner in baseball now.
Oh, yeah. JT Realmuto, just like
he's
he was
gone.
Trying on blue and orange
We might have already seen the last game JT played here.
Thank God Sixto Sanchez can't pitch, man. Jeez.
Yeah, he sucks.
Rob Motti interviewed JT Realmuto for his show, Faith on the Field, which you can hear every Sunday, 5 a.m. And it seemed like from listening to it that JT is kind of reserved to the fact that he's going to have to test free agency. And it didn't seem like he really wanted to, but it seemed like he's come to the fact that, yeah, they're not going to re-sign me during the season, are they? That's troubling.
It's not looking good.
It's not. All right. Last night, though, something that did look good was Rafael Marchand. He was the catcher last night because JT's out.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
got
yeah,
a base hit, his first at bat.
Yep.
He made his major league debut at the age of 21. He was the youngest Phillies catcher to start a game since old Joe Sox Holden in 1934. Old Sox.
I saw that last night. Yeah, that's great. That's
got a
great
name. Sox.
1934, you say?
1934. What a year.
Yeah. Stuff 1934. Happened. We talked about them yesterday with the old school lineups. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
Good old socks.
Good work by you, Pat.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm going.
It's
a minor.
Doing great.
The Fresca thing was a minor setback for a major
that's
comeback.
Right.
And that comeback is birthdays. Because Mike D'Antoni's new defensive force, Josh Richardson, celebrates a birthday. So go tweet at old J Rich, old happy birthday. But the event that happened on this day in history was in 2004. This is a sad one for me. NFL Commissioner Gary Bettman announced a lockout that started and wouldn't end for a full year, which resulted in ping pong balls and Sidney Crosby going to the Penguins in the draft.
Wow. That's a very sad, sad day.
And that.
Whoa.
And that.
Whoa.
No, not yet, Pat.
And that.
Whoa.
No, not yet, Pat.
Whoa.
Is not.
You did not drop the other hockey news that just broke.
Wow.
All the takes. You did not.
I didn't see it.
All the, you know, and all the takes.
I didn't see it.
We're
no.
We're playing with some
no.
jam in
no.
here.
No.
Let's go.
You didn't see who the next head coach of the Washington Capitals is?
Coming up. We'll discuss
it. Playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Peter Laviolette is now the head coach. Per reports, he's now the head coach of the Washington Capitals.
Since when? I literally missed
about
this.
10 minutes ago.
Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. I was cutting up Avante and Maddie. I was doing my job.
Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
No, sorry. I'm not sitting there in front of Twitter. I'm actually, doing stuff back there.
And that's all the takes.
Well played.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well played, Mark.
And that's all the takes.
He just went the old coach line. I'm not just sketching ponies back here.
I think I'm just back there just chomping on dry cereal. It's not happening,
folks. I don't like
doing
that a little
stuff.
Bit. Peter Laviolette's a pretty damn good head coach.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Him and Ovi. I like the idea of him and Elaine Vigneault coaching against each other, though. That's two of my favorite.
I'd love to see them fist fight.
I think that's the way. You know what? Instead of shootouts, if there's a tie between the two of them.
Yeah, coach fight.
Yeah, overtime hockey. And then coach fight.
Well, St. Louis wins every time.
I don't see AV being a fighter. Like if it was John Tortorella
versus jaw, though, I think he could take some punches. Probably.
Oh, yeah. That, as Stan Hockman said, that's a jaw like a chandelier. Nope, not even more glass in his jaw than a chandelier. That does not apply.
to Alain Vigneault.
It's a firm jawline.
It's a firm jawline. That could, they could take a bunch.
And Lavi's definitely a guy that would like scratch and nut grab and do whatever it takes to win.
He
so
would,
I think it would be a great matchup.
He would literally be hiding a weapon somewhere. Yeah. I would fear it's not a fair fight.
One of my favorite parts of the 24/7 years ago with the Flyers was he skates up to Hartnell because I think Hartnell got his 100th goal.
200th goal, I think it was.
200th yeah, goal, yeah. And he goes, yeah, it's 200 more than me. And Hartnell's like, we never scored. Wow, man.
He goes, nope. No, he didn't. Lavi, I don't like Lavi in that division. Lavi in the Metro.
It was more fun when they had an incompetent coach, you're correct.
Yeah.
Some other coach sucking was better for us, no kidding.
Trying to improve their team, the bastards. I mean, where do they get off?
And that's all that takes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point. Let's get to Warren and Sherry. Thank you, Pat. And good
way
job.
To go, Pat.
Good job.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.